In the name of Jesus, amen. This is the text that the sermon is based on, but it's also a continuation and connected with the other two. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, this is what happened. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on his roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." Thus far the text. In the Ten Commandments, it's pretty clear, you shall not commit adultery, which means that we should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. And husband and wife love and honor each other. And now you'd think that the Bible would be the place to find examples of good morality, of places where this commandment is in force, even if the whole rest of the world falls apart and goes to the dogs. And what better place to find examples of those people than King David? Wrong, at least in this case. In this case, David was a horrible example of keeping the commandments of God. And there's no excuse for what he did. According to the law, this is what David and Bathsheba deserved. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't show favorites. He means purge the evil, whether it's the king at the top or a beggar, or even one who's sojourning in Israel. But it gets even worse than that. After the act, the couple conspires to cover it up. David called back Uriah from the battlefield, and he was hoping that Uriah would be so overjoyed to see his wife that he'd do what husbands and wives do, and then nobody would be the wiser, and everything would go along just fine. But when that didn't work, when Uriah just sat outside of David's palace like a lost puppy, David took things into his own hands even more, and he put Uriah at the front lines, told the commanders to pull back, and surprise, surprise, Uriah's dead. But then David also gets to save face in this because he marries this poor, destitute widow and raises her forlorn child. Well, even though most of Israel didn't have TMZ or the benefits of the internet to find out the dirty details of their political figures, God knew what was going on. And he wouldn't let David get away with it. But just as much as God didn't let David and Bathsheba get away with it, God also did something incredible through this unholy union. Yes, the first child that was conceived in this affair died because God chose not to put his stamp of approval or even be complicit in what they did. But Then David comforted his wife, Bathsheba, and went in to her, and lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Remember the promise that Nathan spoke to David from 2 Samuel chapter 7. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Who could have guessed that this, with David and Bathsheba, is how it would happen? But out of this dead couple, and that's what David and Bathsheba were, according to the law, they were dead, but out of that couple, just like Adam and Eve, God raised up the son of David, the son of the promise that Nathan had spoken. And that son of David would establish a godly kingdom, one where iniquity is punished and yet also forgiven. And that kingdom would last forever. But this promise wasn't fulfilled in Solomon. Solomon had his own many failings. He had many wives too, and got into his own religious pluralism. So he wasn't the promised son of David because he died, just like every other sinner. But that promised son of David came in Jesus. And that's the way that Jesus explained it in the gospel. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus is the son of David who is able to bear the sins of mankind. And he's more than just a special child whom the Lord loves. He is the reason that God is gracious to sinners and doesn't immediately give us what we deserve. In fact, for everyone who believes in this Son of David, we don't get what we deserve. We get what the sinless Son of God deserves. We get to be called righteous before God. We get to be raised from the dead. We get to have our sins, though they are many, be washed away, made white like snow, and inherit the kingdom that is rightly Jesus's. And this Son of David reconciled God to us. And he is the assurance that we find grace with God, that we find forgiveness even after our sins. And that is forgiveness for the adulterer, for the drunkard, for the thief, for the sodomite. The Son of David, who is Jesus Christ, is the way that we are able to confidently pray the prayer that David wrote after his encounter with Bathsheba and being called to repentance and receiving the forgiveness that God won for him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.